Hello, my name is Ben Jenkins and welcome back to another episode of the New Grad Radio Podcast. As I mentioned, over this season, I'm going to be sitting down and having a good chat with some emergency health clinicians in order to paint what it really is like to work within an emergency department. And in today's episode, I'm sitting down with Hannah Cotterill. Hannah and I both went through the double degree in paramedicine and nursing. When it came time for our graduate offers, Hannah was offered her first choice of working in the emergency department within one of Australia's leading pediatric major trauma centres. Hannah and I have a good chat about Hannah's journey into getting to where she is right now, and that includes a job that Hannah held when going through uni, and talking about some of the big things that she's gotten from that, which is helping her today. We also had a chat about a two-week placement that Hannah had in Cambodia, and talking about Hannah's journey of starting fresh, coming into her graduate program, how she progressed through her graduate program, and where she is standing right now today. I think you'll find that there is something that everyone can be learning from, whether that you're a student nurse who has an upcoming placement in pediatrics, or not even just a specific peds hospital, but a hospital that looks after pediatrics and adults, or whether you are considering the transition into pediatric nursing. I think Hannah covers things in such a good way that I think that's going to resonate with a lot of you guys. And even if you're not into that area, and if you're just after just learning a little bit more about pediatrics, I think Hannah has that covered too. So, and I think some of the stuff I love taking from this too is from someone who's now in her second year, just like me, talking about how to take care of yourself and some of the things that she does in what is a pretty stressful job, being a registered nurse, not only in emergency, but just a registered nurse in general. So it's with my pleasure that I introduce to you Hannah Cotterill.
All right, g'day Hannah. Thank you so much for being on the New Grad Radio Podcast today. You are my literally my first ever guest. So we went to uni together. We went to Monash Uni. You're literally probably the first ever person that I'd say I met at Monash. We lived across each other for a number of years and we did all of our OSCEs together. So to say that I know a little bit about your story would probably be a little bit of an understatement. But for all the people listening today, how about you just introduce yourself and talk about how you got into nursing?
Yeah, so my name's Hannah. I grew up in a regional part of Tasmania, and well, my mum was a nurse, which piqued my interest. I saw what she did. I thought it was pretty cool how she was able to help everybody and how people kind of went to her for help as well. Thought she was pretty much a little local hero. And yeah. I thought that was really good, so I decided to study nursing myself. But being in Tassie, there wasn't a lot of uni, so I decided to have a look at the other ones, so up on the mainland, so Victoria, Queensland, that kind of stuff, and I'd realised that they did dual degrees, so you could do 2 degrees at the one time, which I thought was just amazing. So I decided to do the nursing paramed double and moved up to Melbourne, where I met you the first day as well. That was interesting. I still remember your bumblebee socks you were wearing that day, Ben.
Well, I probably won't go into that story too much, but yeah, as you do living on residence.
Yeah. So we just lived on res for the 4 years, did all of our OSCEs together. And I was lucky enough to do my nursing graduate in their emergency department. So I was pretty fortunate to be able to do that, learnt a lot, and still working there at the moment, but looking to do some adult work on the side as well.
Oh, there you go. So you're into your second year now. So
just finished it a few months ago.
Jeez, tell me about that. Starting in pediatrics, my goodness, how exciting is that?
Oh, it was absolutely amazing. It was a lot to take on, I have to say. You would probably know as well, in uni, they don't teach you a lot about kids. You mainly learn about adults and the elderly population, which is fine. But it was really, really, really hard. But the grad year was amazing. They did a lot of study days, a lot of supports, because they knew that you didn't know a lot about peds and children. They aren't just little adults, you know, they are completely different in their own right. I mean, right from, you know, that first month to their transition into adulthood, every single age group is different. The way they develop and the kind of health issues they have, they're all completely separate. So it was quite a challenge. And then going through ED, that was busy, made you learn quickly. It's a bit of sink or swim. But no, I loved it. It was great.
Because they're two very separate things as well. Like, they're obviously adding them both together, you just get the double whammy. Not only are you going to children's, which is such a niche market itself, but also adding emergency onto that. What made you sort of get into that sort of area?
Into emergency?
Yeah, with peds and emergency.
Oh, peds and emergency. So, well, I've always been interested in the emergency, doing the paramed double degree. I thought so. That was a bit of a no-brainer on my part. But the peds, so when I was at uni, I was fortunate enough to work in the disability kind of sector, looking after children with autism as well as various other issues and illnesses such as like epilepsy and developmental delays and different abilities as well. So that really piqued my interest in kids because I thought they were absolutely incredible. They were so much fun to look after, no matter, you know, you just had to find a way to communicate with them and kind of manage their little outbursts if they had any and that kind of stuff. But they were just so much fun and I loved going to work every single day. So I thought, why not try this and apply it to my nursing?
No, for sure. And do you think that that sort of work that you've done on the side going through uni, doing that sort of work, has that helped you now in your career as a peds nurse?
Oh, absolutely. 100%. Because kids, you know, not all of them are able to talk verbally the way that we do. And so working on your nonverbal communication, or if they are somebody with, you know, intellectual disabilities or alternate ways of communicating, it really prepared me for all of that. Learning how to use different iPads or even a bit of sign language, or just even being able to navigate if I didn't know how they communicated, being like, oh, okay, we'll just try this, or we'll try this, or we'll just, you know, do something else, you know, that kind of initiative and forward thinking or thinking on your feet really helped both in the peds and in the emergency kind of situation. So I think I've learned a lot of valuable skills.
So I remember even our last year, you were having a chat together talking about your role that you're doing, that you did through that, and you were saying that I think that's one area that they don't go over very well at uni, and that's talking about disabilities in general. We learn a lot about the, especially the paramedic side of things. We're learning about the emergency presentations. We do it for the adults, and we also concurrently learn it with pediatrics. I felt that stuff worked really well. But even in our main nursing degree, you go over such a wide array of content, but I don't really remember once talking about anything to do with disabilities.
No, not at all. I don't think we touched on it at all. And it's actually, I feel like that's a real detriment to our education, because there are so many people with varying levels of disabilities. I mean, there are extremely high functioning ones, and there's other ones that aren't quite so high functioning and need a lot of care. And we interact with them all the time.
I mean,
so many of the patients that I see and look after have like a developmental delay or intellectual disabilities, or have autism, or, you know, and on that scale of function to needing a bit more care. And the way that they interact with the hospital environment can be quite terrifying to them, you know. And even in an ambulance, you know, there's a lot of new and foreign things there. They usually don't like a lot of change, or get very scared with like bright lights, loud noises, that kind of thing. And the hospitals, like especially emergency departments and ambulances, they're full of them. Knowing how to kind of calm them and combat them, or even prepare a space that is a bit less sensory and doesn't have quite as much stimulation to overwhelm them, I think would be really helpful to anybody.
Oh, that's a big tip and trick just there, isn't it? Being able to lower that stimulus any way possible. Oh, that's incredible, Hannah, like just doing that. And also I remember you telling me also in that final year, I'm pretty sure it was, right towards the end, you also did a little stint over in, was it Vietnam that you did?
I went to Cambodia, close.
Cambodia, that's the side. All right. How about you talk to us about that sort of stuff? Because I remember people saying that was unreal.
Oh, it was absolutely incredible. I was very, very fortunate to be able to do a two-week volunteer placement over in Cambodia, working with the children over there and our university. I think there was about 14 or so of us, not a huge bunch, and a couple of our lecturers who went over. And we basically went into a school that was run by volunteers, a not-for-profit school that had about 800 or so children from memory there. And over the two-week period, we just performed basic healthcare checks and dental checks on all of the 800 children, checking like their height, weight, their heart, their lungs, all of their teeth, looking for any signs of like infection, as well as giving them vitamin boosts and some like deworming tablets and that kind of stuff. And then referring on if we found anything that wasn't quite right, then we would refer on to the local medical professionals, because they would be able to follow that up a little bit better than what we could have in our limited time there. And we did find quite a lot. I mean, if you think about it, they don't have a lot of access to, say, like clean water or healthy food. So they were all really interested in like what we were able to teach them, but we had to kind of tailor it to what was achievable for them, sure. You know, even just like washing their hands or washing the food that they have. They would have to do it, you know, with bottled water or something like that. And that's not always a resource that they have. So they would usually drink, say, like sugary, like fizzy drinks, like Coke or something like that. So they often had a lot of dental issues. Like I don't think I saw one single child who didn't have at least a few teeth missing or holes in their teeth or something like that going on. But they were great. They were super, super happy. I've never seen a group of children in such a situation that were just so happy to see, you know, some other people and play with us and all of that kind of stuff. But, yeah, it was incredible, absolutely incredible.
Oh, that's great, Hannah. So here you are. You've done all of this through uni. You did some other leadership work that you were at uni as well, such as, like, mentoring. You've gone and done the trip over to Cambodia. Here you are right at the end, you're finishing up, and here you put your application in for position, which again only has like a handful of positions. So you've got into something that's very prestigious. How about you talk us through that little bit of an application process of going for something like that? That would have been pretty nerve-wracking.
Oh, absolutely. There was so many times that I thought, should I even apply? Because not many people get in, you know, should I even bother? It's because, you know, in Victoria, you're only allowed to apply for so many hospitals. And so part of me thought, should I even, you know, should I waste that chance on something that I probably won't even get? Or should I be smart and try and look for something that I felt was a bit more achievable? But I was like, no, it's what I want. This is something that I want, so I should go for it. And now it's very, very nerve-wracking. There was a big process. I mean, you had to go through a couple of interviews, a few written applications and like some online testing and all of that kind of stuff, but it was definitely worth it.
And here you stand a year later. Woo.
Yeah.
You should be so proud of yourself, Hannah. That's incredible.
Oh, thank you.
So here you go. You've got the absolute confirmation that's come in the email form. You've picked it up, you've had a look at it, you've got it. Now what are you thinking before you start into day one? Did you do any preparation work? Did you read any materials? Like, what did you do to prepare?
I went on holiday.
After 4 years of that, I can imagine.
After 4 years of work, I was like, I need a holiday. So that was one thing that I did. And I think that's actually a thing that I would recommend to anybody between graduating and starting their first job. Go on a holiday.
Because
you've gone through all of the stress of uni. You've gone through all of the stress of application. You've got your job. You'd be so proud of yourself. Go on a holiday and just spend some money, have some fun. You'll earn that money back. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, got a job. And yeah, just celebrate the achievement of graduating and getting a job first. Go on a holiday and then come back and start being like, oh my goodness, I don't have my student blanket anymore. I don't have, you know, any preceptors who'll be, you know, responsible for me. This is all on me. And then you can, you know, start looking at, this is some stuff that I should be reading. So I went through like some and borrowed like some pediatric books just to go back through like even pediatric values. So like what their heart rate should be and what their blood pressure should be and all of that kind of stuff, just for refamiliarizing myself with the different age groups and how they're all developmentally different. When should they start, you know, walking and crawling and talking and all that kind of stuff. But I didn't go through it too much because I didn't want to overwhelm myself too much, because I feel like if I went, I was already nervous about starting work, but and I didn't want to make myself more nervous by, you know, spending every waking minute studying. Go on a holiday.
And from what you said right at the start, I'll bring it right back, because you said right at the beginning that they didn't expect you to know too much about pediatrics. So I want to elaborate on that one a little bit.
Yeah. What was great is that the unit, like university, they don't prepare you. Well, they try a little bit, but the main focus is on adults and the elderly population, because that is majority of what the graduates will be going into. So it's fair enough that they do that. And they touch a little bit on pediatrics, but not enough to be fully confident going straight into a pediatric job. So the hospital acknowledged that, and we did over 4 weeks, like intense study days, like 2 or 3 days of those work weeks were just full 8 hours of study. And we had people come down from the different wards, say it was like an oncology ward or a cardiac ward or whatever, and they would talk about their area of expertise and what, and just like the basics of looking after a child in that area. Is like nothing too specific, but just the absolute basics of looking after a child, because everything else will come with experience. Sure. I feel like every pediatric hospital or any area, if you go into peds straight up, like out of university, wouldn't expect you to know, be an expert in peds. So if anybody's wanting to do peds and is holding off, thinking that they don't know a lot about it, don't let that be a reason to stop you.
I think that's a very valuable information for people to hear, Hannah. That's great. So here you go. You've gone through all of this in 4 weeks of just intensive work to get you all prepared. You've now hit the floor. You've got your scrubs on. You're all excited to go. Tell us about those first few weeks, if not months, of starting as an emergency pediatric nurse.
It was terrifying. Absolutely terrifying. I mean, we were very fortunate. We had a lot of supernumerary time, so we were supported very, very well by the other staff that was there. Like, they knew all of our faces. They knew that we were the grads. They knew that this was, you know, our first day starting off. So they were always there asking us if we needed any help with anything or how our patients were going. But it doesn't, I mean, that helped, but it doesn't mean it's any less terrifying, particularly in emergency when you can't really choose who walks in that door and what you have to deal with, as you would know.
Yeah, no, that's right. Yeah, yeah. Okay,
what I found was really helpful is just trying not to rush too much. Take your time. I mean, yeah, you're still learning. You're not expected to be as fast as somebody who has been there for 10 years. You know, don't compare yourself to anybody else. And just look at your patients, go through what you've been taught at uni. You know, your doctors A, B, C, D, are they better, worse, or the same as what they were before, and work from there. I mean, you know your assessments, you have your assessment skills. So that's, I kind of clung to those basic teachings, you know, that they drilled into us year after year, nothing too fancy. And just worked my way from there. But a huge thing that I struggled with was comparing myself with others. And I really needed to get myself out of that rut of thinking that I wasn't fast enough, or I didn't know enough, or I wasn't good enough, because I was still learning. And I still am now. I still have days where I go home and I'm just like, oh, I could have done that better, or I should have done this quicker, or something like that. But it's all a learning experience, and as long as you reflect on it and you think about what you could do to be a bit better next time, then you're all good.
Especially that's how I was feeling as well. Like, I'd be going home day after day, especially for those first few weeks. I'm like, oh, geez, like, how do these guys do it? And looking around at other people, making it look easy. I think it wasn't until I sort of, exactly what you said too, taking that step back. I think the one thing I started to keep doing day after day was just setting little tiny mini goals for myself. Just going, okay, well, I knew I was slow about drawing up those antibiotics just before, but I know that next time I'll do it, I'll get that little bit quicker. Is that the sort of stuff you're telling yourself as well?
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So I think it's, chunk it into little tiny pieces and just do it over a matter of time. And before you know it, you start getting that little bit better and better.
That's it. That's it. And you're always learning. Nobody's perfect. Everybody makes mistakes. But what's really important is if you do make a mistake, own up to it quickly and tell someone so that it can be fixed. And that's fine. Everybody makes mistakes. But you need to, you know, be able to be like, okay, I made a mistake. How can I not make that again?
Oh, for sure. 100%. So here you are about probably halfway through your graduate year now.
Yeah.
How were you sort of comparing your performance? Were you reflecting back to your day one, or do you just sort of see it as just day after day? Or was there something that you're working towards within your graduate program?
So in our graduate program, we had competencies that we had to do. So there were certain skills that we weren't allowed to do, or certain things in the department we weren't allowed to do until we'd been signed off on them, such as like cannulation or accessing ports or what else? Doing like nitrous sedation, ketamine sedation, that kind of stuff, which is really helpful in kids. And they're really, really valuable skills in ED. And sometimes when you don't have those skills, it can be a bit frustrating because you'll have a patient who needs that and then you have to go and find somebody else to do it for you. So at my 6-month point, those were my goals to be able to, now that I'd kind of got my baseline and I was comfortable coming to work day after day and being like, yep, I can look after patients of all age groups and not be so terrified about it. And I can make sure that they get what they need, and I can ask for help if I need it. That's another thing. Ask for help. If you need help, ask for it. I can ask for help if I need it. I can identify where, you know, areas that I don't know so much about. And if I need help, then that's fine. But I hadn't been signed off for those kind of skills because they wanted you to have a bit of experience under your belt, understandably, before they let you train and sign off for those kind of things. So those were the things that I was working towards.
There you go.
At like the 6-month mark.
Okay. So how about moving towards the end? Was there like a big type of patient you're getting? Do you get into resus? What sort of scope do you have right there at the 12-month mark?
At the 12-month mark, we're able to work everywhere except resus and triage. So that includes all of our bays. But like that doesn't really mean a lot. I mean, sometimes resus can be so busy that you'll get almost resus like patients in the bay. So you still have to be a bit, you know, on top of things. But we also have like a fast track area, which is really cool because it's just procedure after procedure, lots of sedation, lots of arms being set in casts and bone manipulation and things being pulled out of ears and noses and stuff because children just stick things everywhere, Legos, beads, everything. And then there's our short stay area as well, which is for patients who don't need an admission, but they need a bit more time than what we can give in the bays to get a bit better. So a lot of like rehydrations or recovery from sedations or people waiting for like specialist inputs or something like that. So we can work in all of those areas at that point. But yeah, no, the scope's pretty big. I mean, we're able to do pretty much everything and look after heaps and heaps of different patients and everything. I'm able to do all of my sedations and cannulations and all of that kind of stuff, which is really valuable, makes you a valuable team member. And like you're even able to, even throughout my grad year, we were able to take students. So teaching, like we only get third year students, but we still teach like the third year nursing students and help them in their journey, which I found is really nice. And it's very humbling actually, because you can see where you were only a year ago, you can see where you were and you can see where you are now. And that's quite a proud and humbling kind of experience to be able to do that. And you can impart, you know, your little pearls of wisdom or what helped you get to where you are in that last year. And we even precepted I was lucky enough to be one of the preceptors for the new grads that started, which was another very fortunate and humbling experience because, you know, we were only there a year ago. So they were able to kind of see what they can become in a year and have that reassurance from us that we were exactly the same as how they were feeling at that moment a year before. And if we can do it, then they can do it as well. So, yeah, there's a lot of cool things that has happened in the last year.
So if I had some people listening to this right now and they're considering going into pediatric nursing, or let's just say that someone's got their acceptance like you did and that they know they're heading into it, what sort of advice would you give to them?
Take it day by day. Don't, you know, push yourself too hard. You're just starting off. You're just learning. Don't compare yourself to anybody else. Just, you know, look at where you are now and look at where, you know, you were, you know, 3 years ago when you first started. Look at all the skills that you've gotten. Look at what you've learnt. And you can, you know, take that in with you. Don't try not to stress too much. It'll be really hard. But take time to look after yourself. Self-care is extremely important. Find things that you like to do, and what helps, you know, wind you down after the day. Don't try and take your patients home with you. Don't, once you leave, you know, try not to, I mean, reflecting is good, but try not to really obsess over what happened at work, because that won't be good for your mental health.
Nice. Exactly the same as you. Like, I'd go day home, especially when I first started. I'd go home day after day in ICU, and I'd just be thinking, oh, goodness, like, what happened to that patient? You'd go home and you just think about some of the things that you've missed, and you'd wake up and be like, oh, goodness. Yep. I think that is pretty normal for everyone starting off in nursing, though. But I think it probably does take a solid few months to start getting out of that, to start feeling a bit more reassured in yourself, and that way you don't feel like you're having to keep doing that day after day.
Absolutely. But I think it's a very valuable skill to have, because otherwise yourself, you know, your health and your mental health and everything take a big turn downwards. And it's really important to look after yourself. Look after yourself first so you can look after other people.
I think I'll probably finish off with two questions, Hannah. So the first one is going to be probably taking yourself out for a second and thinking of some other nurses who may work not only have pediatrics, but if you're going somewhere that has a mix of pediatric and adults, because I guess what I'm getting to is that people are often terrified of peds. Like they're obviously a bit scared of them coming through the door. So if you'll just give some basic generic advice, what sort of stuff would you give?
Kids are a lot less breakable than you think. I've seen kids take on things that adults would, you know, come in quite injured from, and they just get straight up and keep walking, absolutely unfazed, uninjured. So they're a lot less breakable than you think. That's one thing that a lot of people tell me when you say that I look after, you know, 3-day-old babies in ED or something like that. They're just like, oh my goodness, they're so fragile. They're not. They're not that fragile. I mean, yes, they are in a sense, but they're a lot less breakable. You can't break them. You as a nurse looking after them will not break that child. So first off, nothing you do will break them. Secondly, turn everything into a game. Your ops may take 20 minutes, but turn your SpO2 probe into a crocodile, a soft crocodile with no teeth. Turn your blood pressure machine into a muscle reading thing that'll test out how strong they are and feel all of their muscles and see how strong they are. Or have a stick of bubbles in your pocket for the ones that really can't be consoled, and get them playing with bubbles while you're trying to do your obs, and sneak behind them and auscultate their chest or something. You know, always turn everything into a game. And if in doubt, turn to the parents. The parents have them all the time. They are their main carers. They know what's normal for them. They know what isn't. So if you have any questions whatsoever, particularly about the complex care patients who people are most terrified of, because they may have, you know, a nasogastric tube in, or complex medications, or a trachy or something like that, talk to the parents, because they're the ones who know them best, and they know exactly what's going on with their child, and they'll be able to help you out better than any book or any video or anything like that. The parents, the families, they're absolutely amazing. It's really just a collaboration between the healthcare team and the family. That's basically what pediatrics is.
I think that's an absolute piece of gold there, Hannah. That's awesome.
Well, thank you. Hopefully that's helpful.
No, I think so. And it's probably my final question for you, Hannah. So if someone was interested in probably finding out a little bit more about pediatric nursing, or even just pediatric emergency nursing in general, and if you were to just offer up maybe a resource or something that you find interesting after being in the job for over a year now? Like, what sort of what would you recommend for them to read or watch or anything like that?
Well, I don't know
if anything.
It's difficult. I mean, if they're interested in peds, I mean, RCH do some great, have great resources up on their website. If they're interested in learning about, you know, more peds specific illnesses and all of that kind of stuff, say like croup and some great resources up on all of that. But I can't really think one that's specific to nursing in peds, because that was something that I really just had to learn from the people around me.
Excellent. No, that yeah. Right there is probably saying it. Because I remember people asking me coming through, like other students would come to me in ICU and they'd go, oh, like what would you recommend? Should I be looking at books on mechanical ventilation or books on inotropes and all that sort of stuff? And I'm like, well, you can look at it. Like, there's nothing against looking at it, but I'd say a lot of the stuff that you do learn will probably be coming from on the job, like getting in there.
That's it.
Touching and feeling and just doing a bit of time, and I find that everything would come with that. And I think there are some things especially as a student coming through, I don't think you really need to spend that lot of time on something like mechanical ventilation. Like, a lot of it's just going to be foreign concepts until you actually start playing with the equipment and start understanding its role. So, no, I actually really appreciate that, Hannah, by saying that a lot of it as well is going to be coming from on the job, especially with paediatrics.
Yeah.
No, but for the RCH stuff, I'll put it up on the show notes as well, exactly what you're talking about with the websites. If anyone was interested, they can go have a look. So, Hannah,
great stuff up there for the parents actually as well, like the kids' health info that RCH do have info about, you know, for parents if they've got a child that's unwell. With things, you know, when to go to the doctor, when to come to hospital, what's normal, what's not normal, what they can do at home to help. Like, I always print out those kind of informations and give them to the parents, because in their state of shock, they don't always process everything, if you know what I mean, or the education you're giving them, they don't always process it. So I always give them something to go home with as well. So those are always good to look at as well, from a non-medical point of view.
Done. Excellent, Hannah. So I guess I'll finish off by saying, is there anything that you would like to say to anyone who's listening, whether it's going to be graduates themselves or anyone who's just interested in learning a bit more paediatrics? Is there any sort of pearls of wisdom you'd like to chuck out right at the end?
Kids are great. They're so much fun to work with. Everything is a game. Everything is a game, which makes work so much fun. So much fun. And it's just, you know, don't be afraid of them. They're not breakable. They're amazing. Families are great. And if you are interested in kids, go for it.
Thank you so, so much, Hannah, for being on the show today. I've absolutely appreciated you not only spending the time to take your time out of your own busy schedule, but to also be my very first ever guest. And I'll always appreciate that one, Hannah.
Ah, not a problem, Ben. My pleasure.
So there we have it. So thank you very much again to Hannah for being on the show. Absolutely loved having a chat to you and hearing all about your journey of what it's been like for you to be working within a pediatric emergency department. If you guys have any comments about today's episode or any questions whatsoever, feel free to head across to the Facebook page, type in New Grad Radio Podcast, and you can send me a message that way. Otherwise, guys, this has been Ben Jenkins with the New Grad Radio Podcast, and I very much look forward to talking to you guys next time. Catch ya.